Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Praise the Lord. I want to try to get this message delivered to you in time so that we can have a few minutes for a special prayer at the end of the service, which is not our norm. Normally, we're doing most of our praying during the service, which is the way God has done it here for many, many years. And we're up for change. We're up for the move of the Holy Spirit for whatever He wants to do. But we especially want to be sensitive to Him today, because today is a special emphasis this morning. I think if you're going to be talking about God using you and God using your talents that you were born with, or the talents that He has placed in you, or the talents that come when the Holy Spirit comes into your life in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, any of those will fit the bill for what we're talking about this morning. And I just want to impart to you, encourage you, help you to understand that we can't begin talking about or exercising spiritual gifts unless we have a little bit of understanding about it. Amen? And so part of the responsibility I have is to impart to you some understanding about where we're going and what the Holy Spirit has been doing for a long, long time. I know for some of us, God bless your soul, some of you would say, whoa, I don't know if I'm ready for that. And then some of the others of you would say, man, let's go for that and everything else. And even if we have to invent a few things, we'll just go for it, you know. But we want to be very careful, and maybe that is probably a fault of mine, that we are very, very cautious in that we want the genuine moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I don't think anybody objects to that. And if it's my responsibility then as the pastor to try to guide and direct some of this, I want you to understand that I am very, very cautious and maybe to a fault, and I'll have to talk to Jesus about that when I get to heaven. But if I'm responsible for something, I want to do it right, or I don't want to do it at all. Amen? And what God has been doing in our church for some time is a wonderful thing, an encouraging thing. And if you get a hold of that, or if it gets a hold of you, he gets a hold of you, then great things are going to happen in your life. And I don't care how well you have got this down. I don't care how long you have been in this. We're living in a brand new day. Let me just tell you. I'm cautious because I am a man that shows deference. I try to show deference to people and try to give them respect, and that becomes sometimes a dilemma in this congregation. Because if you look around this church, and if you knew everybody, as I know most of you, your background, some of you come from all different denominations and teachings and trainings and so forth. You're with a mixed group now. And so just because you're a fire-breathing, Pentecostal, raise-them-from-the-dead Christian does not necessarily mean that the guy sitting next to you in the pew is in that mode. You follow what I'm saying? So how does God bring us together with so many backgrounds and yet focus us together in such a way that everybody is willing to be open and receptive to the Holy Spirit, God, doing what He wants to do in a service? And part of that is my responsibility. And so I want to be cautious. You see some pretty wild things around here, but I'm going to just kind of frown on a few things. And, you know, you start picking up chairs and slinging them across the room, we're going to have trouble. Just going to warn you right off the bat. And I'm sharing this with you because You now know the motivation I've had for 28 years pastoring this church, that I want God's freedom. I want to be as free as I can possibly be in the Holy Spirit. and not step into my own flesh. You know what I'm saying? Does everybody understand that concept? If it's new to you, what it means is you're doing it and not the Holy Spirit's doing it. And so the Holy Spirit is free to do anything He wants to, and I'm confident that if He wants to do something, He's going to make it bear witness with the pastor's spirit. Amen? And the message this morning is in the book of Romans, the first chapter. And I'm going to go through 12 verses here as quickly as I can. I'm going to focus on the last two verses toward the end, but it will be the main focus. And I want you to understand that this is my motivation. This portion of Scripture is what I stand my faith on. It's what I put my full and total confidence in as being correct, as being the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I place my total reputation as a pastor on some of these very scriptures because it talks about our faith and what we believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe He was born of a virgin? Yes, I believe He was born of a virgin. Do I believe He died on a cross? Yes, I believe He died on a cross. Do I believe He was buried? Yes, I believe. We just sang about it. And I believe He rose from the dead, and He's secured all these things for us. But I want to talk about a special thing that I think some people have, like everybody, will take some things to an extreme, but I want to try to find the balance in this and let you know my motivation and my encouragement to you this morning, because ultimately what I want to get across to you is that God has His hand on you. God has His hand on you. And He wants to use you further than He has already used you. Well, Pastor, I've never preached or sung a gospel special or anything like that. That's not the whole story, folks. That's just a couple of small items in the whole program. And what I want you to do is learn how to use your gifts in the midst of a bunch of gifted people and not necessarily bring attention to yourself, but bring attention to the Lord in how He uses you. Amen? Because everything that is done in the house of God should bring honor to Jesus Christ, should exalt Him to the highest, and should bless God's people. Amen? So that's where we're going. Let me get started in the very beginning of this. Several verses, clear up to the eighth verse, is basically a salutation in this letter. He's beginning to write to the Roman church. And you've got to understand, the Roman church is kind of at this point in history, is heading into a time of great persecution, but the Roman church is still under pressure by the Roman government. The Roman government is antagonistic to the church, because the church represents a power, an allegiance to a Caesar beyond Caesar. Am I making sense? They believe in Jesus Christ and they're totally loyal to Him. Yes, they may be a good citizen, but that is not as important to them as being loyal to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Caesar, not Caesar of Rome. Jesus is the leader. He's the king. He's the Lord. And so this letter being written to them is under those kinds of circumstances where persecution is not only going on, but it is eventually driving them into the catacombs where they have to hide out or be fed to the lions in the Colosseum, or be blamed for the fire that burns down the ghetto so the Caesar can build a brand new palace. You know what I'm talking about? So those things are in the history of the early Roman church. And so Paul is addressing them, and I think that he has much more of an influence and a relationship with them than you first detect when I start reading some of these scriptures. But Paul sets forth in this book, and this is probably one of the premier writings of the Apostle Paul. Now, you can read all the other writings you want to that the Apostle Paul has written. This is the premier work. So if you spend a lot of time in Romans, you're going to get good, solid theology. You're going to learn who Jesus Christ is, what He has accomplished, what He offers to you, and once you receive that offering, what He will do in your life. And so this is just the beginning, and it is so rich I probably won't even get past the introduction. So Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, awesome, called by Jesus Christ, we know the story, to be an apostle. An apostle is just not an ordinary teacher. An apostle is a direct eyewitness of the ministry of Jesus Christ and an ambassador of that ministry, of Jesus' ministry. Am I making sense? And so an apostle, separated for what? Separated from everything that about him that was reality before, Jew and all of that, separated unto the gospel of God, the good news. Now, there was a message of the Old Testament, but now there's a gospel, a new good news that's being preached. And what is that? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And so he's separated from all of the other things that he knew about. He is separated under the gospel. That is his main focus. That's what drives him. That is his passion. And now he begins to proclaim that there is evidence for the reason he has been selected and evidence why he is so passionate about the gospel that God has called him, set him apart to preach. Verse 2, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This was declared in the Holy Scriptures. This time there would be a forerunner, John the Baptist, there would be Jesus Christ, and that there would be followers of his that would turn this world upside down. This was all prophesied by prophets in the Old Testament. And when it came to pass, those who should have known didn't know, and those that didn't know received it gladly and were transformed into followers of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, the scriptures relating all of this, concerning the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, including the Roman church with himself, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. These are the evidences that Paul is setting forth and declaring what brought about his commissioning, what brought about the anointing upon him, the gifting upon him, the power upon him to minister as an apostle of the gospel. These are the reasons. He's setting forth the reasons that he's confident that what he is doing and the message that he's preaching is true. Now, you need not follow Jesus if it isn't true. But how do you know today that it's true? He confirms it by his power. And he'll say that in a moment. He confirms that you are able to know that Jesus is real, that he has transformed your life, two ways. One, he confirms it in you, and you're changing. Amen? You're not the person you once were. You're now a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Is it getting exciting yet? Awesome. Concerning his son, Christ, that by, in fleshly terms, he was born of the seed of David. What's he talking about? He's referring to the fact that Jesus Christ is the deserved king of Israel. He is in the lineage of David who should sit on the throne of Israel. Now, at this time, the throne of Israel is just a puppet kingship, lordship. It's just got figureheads there because Rome controls it, okay? You know this. I don't have to repeat all this for you. But I'm excited because he's declared some of the basic theology that we understand by experience today, but he's setting forth the doctrinal evidence. This book will set forth every bit of doctrinal evidence of Jesus Christ and what he came to teach and establish. Teachings and doctrines that he came and established, Jesus Christ established. And Paul is carrying on that mission, and now he's talking to the Roman church, and he's going to commend them in just a moment. But he's making a declaration here in verse 4, which is very important. Follow this. And declared to be the Son of God. Okay, he's the Son of David by flesh. Why? Well, Mary and Joseph and so forth. And declared to be the Son of God. How? With power. Jesus Christ was buried and rose from the dead. Power brought him out of the grave. Power broke open and moved a big giant stone out of the way and released him out of the ground. Amen? Power, the very same power, declares him to be the Son of God. According to the Spirit of holiness, anything God does has holiness written all over it. But by the resurrection from the dead, the very fact that he's not in a grave any longer, but he's risen from the dead and now is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, is evidence that the Roman church was probably vaguely aware of, but he is declaring and confirming that for the Roman church. They accepted Christ, may not have known everything about Christ because the New Testament is now being written. So what he's declaring to them has to be truth, or there's no sense declaring it. And so Paul has given his life to declare this message as an authoritative missionary representative of Jesus Christ. So what Paul says is certainly going to be anointed. Wouldn't you expect it to be anointed? Wouldn't you expect that he has power in his life? Absolutely, you have power. You probably don't tap it all the time, but there's power in your life because Christ is in your life. What power? Resurrection power. You see, The only power God deals with is resurrection power. The very same power to resurrect someone from the dead is the very same power that resurrects you from your spiritual death. Gives you a born-again experience. That's what it's all. It's resurrection power. I'm getting wound, and I'm liking it. Wind. But listen to his declaration. He's the Son of God with holiness and resurrection power, and it's by him and by the prophets and by the will of God by whom we have received grace and apostleship. He's talking about himself and in a broader sense them as well, because they will be representatives at some point. But by whom, Christ, and all that power, we have received grace. Grace is not a passive thing. That's what he's telling you. Grace is aggressive. Grace is powerful. Grace is transforming. It's not passive. It's not just some good feeling that you get somewhere that makes you feel like, oh, everything's okay. It does that. But there is power in the grace of Jesus Christ. He inserts, imputes that to us. Amen. Give him a hand. Praise the Lord. He imputes that power through his grace. I almost went back to being too young to talk. This is power versus, because it's power to you. It's power for you. It's power being imparted to you. And I want to talk about imparting things to one another. And I think it's a ministry. I don't think it's as extreme as some people take it, but I do think it's it is a legitimate prayer and ministry. And I want to get to that in just a moment. And so we have received grace, power, grace, and apostleship, which means a commission to be a minister. We receive that. How do we do that? First of all, by obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name. Part of the way we receive grace and power and commission is because we're faithful. We're faithful. One of the greatest attributes you can give to the Apostle Paul or compliments about an attribute he possessed is that he was faithful. In fact, he declares it to his protege and tells him, hey, I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. He is faithful. Oh, that God's people would be faithful to Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. I don't know. I'm just getting stirred up here. And so through obedience leading to faithfulness, the faith among the nations we've shared, wherever we've gone, we've shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, among whom are you also, the Roman church, among whom all those nations, you are, and also called of Jesus Christ. He says in this verse, in this very verse, the sixth verse, a short verse, among whom all these people, all these nations, you are called of Jesus Christ. Do you have any idea what he's saying? He's already declared his apostleship, his commission, his passion, his faithfulness, and in whom he has been faithful, and that is Jesus Christ. And he's talking to the Roman church, probably one of the best commendations he's given to anybody that he's written to. What's he telling them? Hey, just as I've been called, just as I have been empowered, just as I have been commissioned by Christ, you also have been commissioned into the same ministry. You see, there is no individual ministries in the kingdom of God. I am sorry. You've got churches and you've got denominations. You've got big name evangelists, big well-recognized Christian people. There are no single ministries in the kingdom of God. It is Jesus Christ alone who is the minister, and we are his ambassadors. Am I making sense? Yeah, praise God. And so Paul is he's just reiterating what they have experienced but may not have been able to articulate. The Romans aren't writing this book. Paul is writing to the Romans, and he's commissioning them, and you can take the words of this book and receive them by faith, and those very words will bring power into your life and into your gifting and into your personal ministry for Jesus Christ. We don't work individually. I know it just seems that way because we've got ministries that are all specialized, and I'm not objecting to any of this. I'm welcoming them as long as they are ministering for Jesus Christ, and He is Lord, and He is commissioned. I mean, He's given the commission, and you're glorifying Him. Amen. I'm up for it. I don't care. We're all together, and we're one in the ministry for Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Even though when we get to heaven, there'll be a special section that says Christian Worship Center Zilla, and we'll all go there when we get there. It's really the ministry of Jesus Christ that Paul's talking about, and he's including the Roman church. Now, here's a church that needs some encouragement. Here's a church that needs to understand theologically, doctrinally, what the mission and the purpose and the accomplishment that took place at the cross was all about. There are many people, even today, that receive Jesus Christ gladly and don't understand a single thing about what it means. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. You only have to have a simple amount of faith to receive Jesus Christ and receive all the blessings of heaven, including the power of grace into your life. That's wonderful. You don't have to know everything about it to get it. It's a good thing God does it His way. You get it first, and then He builds on what you've gotten. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, I like that. Amen. And so you don't have to have a doctorate behind your name, although that's nice when you've earned that, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, hey, you don't have to be a doctor to receive what this scripture talks about. It's powerful enough to change everyone and simple enough to be received by everyone. That is awesome. And so this church, without all the full instruction that we possess, goodness sakes, we should have already turned this world upside down a long time ago, because we know it all. They did not know it all. They are now receiving it as Paul imparts to them some understanding and some wisdom and some encouragement. I don't know about you, but when somebody comes to me and says, attaboy, you're doing good. God's really blessed you. You're doing what God wants you to do. Praise the Lord for what you're doing. That feels pretty good when someone says that to you. Amen? Amen? Now let me say that to you this morning. This church has been a dynamic church. Few in number, perhaps, in comparison to larger ministries, but this church has been a dynamic church. It has built all these buildings and all of the ministry that you see entirely by faith in Jesus Christ. We never had some big bank book to write out all this. God built all of this, and He built it with you. You should be commended. You should be told how awesome you really are, because you have accomplished great things for Jesus Christ. And I could give you statistics and stuff, like I bored them in on Saturday because I've been stirred up by this. I could give you statistics and numbers and all that kind of thing that would illustrate it, but suffice it to say this: look what you have done. You are a vital force in the lower valley for Jesus Christ, and you even reach up and have some tentacles in Yakima in the upper valley. And God has used us to touch people wherever we can touch them. That's what we want. But my point is, you should be committed, and you should realize it's your faith, it's your commitment, it's your commission, it's your faithfulness that has built what God has established here in this town. Amen? Give yourselves a hand. Praise the Lord. And it has been done by no man and no single man. It has been done by God's people and by God's power. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is awesome stuff. And you need to realize this. In fact, it places you in the same position as the church at Rome. Listen to what he says in the 7th verse. To all that be in Rome. Listen. I'm about to say the most important thing to you, to me, to Rome. Listen to what he says. To all that be at Rome. Now, he's not talking about all Romans. He's talking about all the church, all the Christians that are at Rome. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. Can you receive that this morning? Can you receive that Jesus is talking to you this morning when he says that? He's talking to you. All you in Zilla, beloved of God. I'm my beloved's and he is mine. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know. Everything else is worth it. All the troubles, the trials, the indignations, the rejections, the rebellions, all kinds of things that you go through in life. All that suffering is worth hearing those words. I'm beloved of God. God loves me. God loves you. He really, really does. He loves you. And I know we can use the third chapter of John and illustrate the cross and the commitment and the death and the resurrection and all that. And that just emphasizes it more. But Paul is down on our terms. Not the lofty thing that Christ did, and that is the center of our faith. But Paul is talking on our terms. All you Christians in Rome. Oh, by the way, beloved of God. I don't know about you, but that puts me in pretty good standing with some pretty fine people. Do you realize that you are standing with some pretty lofty Christian people? I've known some mighty, what I consider mighty men of God in my lifetime. Some have gone on to be with the Lord. But you're standing with the likes of the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter. Don't short yourself. You're beloved of God. And he doesn't love Paul any more than he loves you. Amen? That felt good. That just feels real good. And here's what you got to know. Called to be saints. Now, if you've got a King James Bible, you'll notice that the two words to be are italicized. That means that there are some texts that were old ancient texts that did not have to be in there. So it would read something like this if that was gone. To all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called saints. Did you know you're a saint? Did you know that you're a saint? I know we put this idea of loftiness there. Hey, a saint is anyone who has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You're a saint. You may not think you are or act like you are sometimes, but you are. Grace to you. What kind of grace? Power grace to you. And peace from God the Father, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout all the world, through the whole world. Do you know what he's talking about here? He's telling the Roman church just how awesome they really are. And though they may not recognize it, realize it, because they're fighting off being thrown in to be fed to the lions, they're hiding out in a catacomb or whatever persecution's going on at the exact time of this writing, they're thinking, hey, I don't know if this Christian thing's worth it. He commends them. He encourages them. Doesn't that encourage? Hey, your faith is spoken of all over the world. Wherever I go, people are amazed that there are Christians living in Rome. And that they're strong church, that they're praying for us and we're praying for them. And they're representing Christ there just like we are here. That's just unbelievable. How in the world can there be any Christians in Rome? Rome is the most debased, debaucherous place in the world. It is the very capital of evil and sin. It is where anything goes and everything goes. Kind of like America today. How in the world can there be any holy, godly people existing in Rome? That's what the rest of the world's thinking. Praise the Lord, there's Christians there. Just like you and I would say, well, praise the Lord, there's a large movement of Christians in China. How can they live there when they're being put to death because they're Christians? Or Russia. When there is an environment of antagonism and hostility, we wonder to ourselves, how can that be? I read in the Voice of the Martyrs, they get a magazine, Voice of the Martyrs, and repeatedly they're asking for finances to give to families whose one of their family members have been martyred, killed for Christ. Today, we're talking today, not 1,000 years ago, or 2,000 years. We're talking today, Christians giving their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. And so we look over in Iran and Iraq and all the war-torn ISIS killing Christians and everything, and we're saying to ourselves, how in the world can there be Christians there? And if I was there, I would be like a lot of them. I'd be looking for someplace to go. I mean, that's a wise thing to do. But many of them don't make it. Many of them are dead. It's too hostile an environment for loving Christian people. And if you'd have been here the other night when we showed the video from the conference we went to, you would have discovered what's going on and how alive and vibrant and how great revival is breaking out right in the midst of ISIS. ISIS fighters becoming Christians and starting to preach. How does that happen? There is power and grace flowing. There is love flowing. There's the beloved that are there. You see, Christians can survive and die in any environment. And the gospel glorifies Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. God is rich. God is good, isn't he? I got to get going because I want to have a little bit of time for an opportunity to pray for some folks this morning. Think of that. Think about it. You're famous around the world because you are surviving for Christ in a very hostile environment. Ladies and gentlemen, the history of Rome is they fed thousands of Christians to the lions to entertain the folks. They didn't have TV, you know, or special effects. They did the real thing. Crazy. Crazy. Well, listen to verse 9. I haven't even got to the two verses I want to focus on. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that that verse could be your verse. Well, I can't speak very well to people. I can't sing songs. I can't play an instrument. I can't preach. But you can certainly pray. And that's what Paul's telling me. I'm always praying for you. I'm always praying for you and mentioning you before the Lord that he would bless you. And I'm going to tell you what, those prayers, your prayers, my prayers are effective. They actually really do have an effect. I know some of you have been going 4 years being prayed for, but I believe it's about to come to a great end. I'm claiming a job for Robert back there. It's his. That's just all there is to it. It's his. And I'll tell you why I believe it's his. Because in the Old Testament, remember the patriarchs? You know, the head of the family, any family, and amongst the children of Israel. You remember when, was it Jacob dying, and he went to bless all of his sons? And that principle is a very real principle. Today, spiritually, in the old days, it was a matter of fact when he would bless or not bless his children, that's exactly what would happen in their life. You remember that? And so, Robert's junkyard dog dad came up here this morning and declared that his son would get that job. Patriarch praying a blessing on his son. I believe in that principle. I believe in that principle. I believe in that principle. I believe that that is a form of imparting, giving forth a blessing. Hello, are you with me? We're going to get there. If I will just hurry up, we're going to get there in power in just a minute. Okay, listen to this. Making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul's coming, maybe not always in the way he wanted to come, one time under arrest, a couple times under arrest, but anyway, he got there, and he ministered to the church, and he ministered so strongly, he even got into the household of Caesar. And won people out of Caesar's family to Jesus Christ. Now focus on these last two verses with me, and I'll try to get it across to you as quick as I can. For I long to see you. Part of my prayer for you is for me to be able to get there to see you. I long to be able to minister to you. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. That's the focus. Took me all this time to get there. Dear Lord, help the boy. To the end, for the purpose that you might be established. That's how I know that they didn't know everything they needed to know about Christ. That's how I know that there was an impetus to write this book. That's how I know that Paul's desire was to get them the Word of God and the principles of the Lord and the theological doctrines, they may not have called them that then, only we sophisticated modern contemporary people call them that, but in those days he just wanted to establish them with the truth. And the truth was Jesus Christ is Lord. They wanted to establish them in that. See, there's a lot of Christians today that bounce around, go around, and this is not all wrong. I'm not saying that. But they're not established. Do you know the strength in being established? Established somewhere in a church that's preaching the word, trying to live it out and trying to touch other people. Being established there. Why? Because then you have a support group, you have a mission and an opportunity, and you have a vision for ministry. Out there by yourself or going from one vision to another vision is not going to establish you. It's not going to make you solid. You're going to be a flake. Sorry. The reason I know is because we've had a few of those flakes shake around in this church, unfortunately. And then God, of course, blessed us by moving them on. Amen? You never thought a pastor would say that, would you? For I long to see, I want to impart a spiritual gift unto you for the purpose of establishing you, verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith that we possess, both yours and mine. Here's the deal. He wanted to impart something to them, a spiritual gift. That could be any number of things. Today we have people, I think, that have gone to an extreme. And if you disagree with me, that's your privilege, and that's fine. Because it's not the thing that's going to get you in heaven or out of heaven, whether you believe my way or not. It doesn't make any difference. But here's how I believe. I think part of the problem with a lot of contemporary ministries is that they, and I'm not excluding myself either, is that many times we exceed the meaning of the word. We go beyond it. We take what the Bible says. We might even take it out of context and build a doctrine on it. I believe in impartation. I don't believe it in the extreme I have seen it demonstrated. But it is a valid ministry. It is valid. I'm not building Gary Conner impartation ministries. I don't believe that. Because I think the impartation here is misunderstood sometimes. I think what many people who have exceeded what I think the scripture is talking about, many of them have left you with the idea that they can pray for you and suddenly you have this talent, this ability, this gifting, this spiritual gifting. That is true in a sense, but it's been taken to an extreme. And what happens is, I don't have time to get into that. What we need to understand is that his impartation that he's talking about is kind of threefold. It includes some of that gifting like I just described, but that's not the singular focus. Part of the focus is what you and I need to understand. This is the part we need to understand, because in the coming days, coming Sundays, and coming services, we're going to want to see some impartation. We want to see what you possess being passed on to someone else. Am I making sense? And so impartation to me means that it could be that the Apostle Paul wants to get there. He wants to. He's been praying to get there. He wants to be there so he can give him a spiritual gift. That can mean, and I think does mean, but is not all in, the only thing that it means. I think it's kind of threefold. I think it means that he wants to get there and be able to minister to them and preach to them and teach them and encourage them and fellowship with them. That's part of what I believe. The second thing is along the line of what I just described that has, I think, been abused. I think sometimes God anoints us, the Apostle Paul or ourselves or anyone else that's praying for people. I think it is for an actual impartation of a spiritual gifting, a gift that you did not possess. Now, wait a second. If I am going to pray for you an impartation, what does that mean? That means I possess it and I'm about to give it to you. I'm imparting it. Is that correct? I'm imparting it to you. Nowhere in this scripture does Paul describe himself as giving you a word of wisdom gift or a word of knowledge gift. And you won't find it there because that all comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. However, there may be a latent gift inside you that needs to be ignited, brought to the surface. And that, I think, is kind of more like what he's talking about. I'm going to impart a spiritual gift. In other words, I'm going to light the fire of what you already possess. So I'm imparting the initiator. My impartation to you is to encourage you to continue to use that gift that you possess. I'm also going to be the one that wants to encourage you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so all the other gifts come your way. You follow what I'm saying? But I think what he's referring to here is, I want to be able to impart something that is going to touch your spirit. Your spirit. Am I making sense now? I have something, this great excitement that I know in Christ, and I want to impart that to you. I think what he's talking about is that same thing that he's possessed, a passion, a faithfulness, a commitment, and I want you to be touched in your spirit and be motivated that same way. And let that play out in whatever gifting you want to call it. But I have a hard time believing that I'm going to be the one that gives you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It has to be the Holy Spirit. And I have a hard time believing that I'm going to be the one that lay my hands on you. Suddenly you're going to speak in tongues because I gave you that gift. No. That all comes with the Holy Spirit. You receive him, and all the gifts of the Spirit come with the Spirit. This impartation is gifts of utility. You can use these gifts. Many of them you may possess, but it might be a gift you never have. And Andre Crouch didn't know how to play the piano. One night he sits down and starts playing the piano. That's not speaking in tongues. That's not a word of wisdom. That's not a hospitality gift. That's a talent that he did not possess, and he sat down and got. Have you ever played any of Andre Crouch's music? I mean, those of you that are musicians, that's some of the weirdest chording I've ever seen in my life. Chords I didn't even know that they existed. I tried to learn that at one time, and I realized this ain't there. But I'm confident that those very same things have happened to you. And so this morning, we're going to pray in general an impartation to you. I already started it earlier when I prayed for you. I want to seal that prayer with another prayer this morning. And I want to begin it, first of all, by praying for Sharon and Randy. They're about to leave the country to go do some ministry. Been invited, I understand, to minister there. So and do other things. But we want to commission them. We as a church want to impart into their lives an anointing. Now, here's what I believe is going to happen. I believe God, when they get there, they may have a plan, and they may have a goal, they may be there for a specific purpose. But I believe that they're going to run into things to do there that they never had talent for, something they didn't know they had the ability to do, because I know he's going to use some of his talent over there as well. But I'm believing that something, when we pray this prayer for them, something's going to happen there, and then when they come back, they can share it with us. Something's going to happen there that goes outside the box. You see, we all have nice little boxes. And we know what's inside the box. We're comfortable with what's inside the box. We know what we can do and what we can't do. And so we avoid what we can't do, and we're comfortable with what we can do. And when something crops up that we've never done and don't understand and all of that kind of stuff, we get a little outside the box. And it's not comfortable outside the box. How many of you agree with that? But how many of you that have done that, been outside the box, and when it was over, realized, man, that was cool. That's what the kind of prayer we're wanting to pray. So that whatever talents they may or may not have, will manifest over there, not for the purpose of manifesting, but for the purpose of getting the goal done. You follow what I'm saying? And I think there's more to this than what you guys think it is. I think it's bigger. And I'm going to pray it's bigger. I'm going to pray opportunities open up that they can be a major grace power packer there. Amen? An imparter. They're going to impart with the power of God's grace blessings in this ministry that they're going to, and so forth. So Randy and Sharon, if you'd come first, and then we may not have time to do much more than this, than to just pray for the sealing, the blessing in your life. But I'd like a couple of folks that feel led to come up and help us pray, impart into them this mission, this ministry, if you would. If you feel comfortable, a couple of you come on up and help me pray. Yeah.
Testimony of how this happened.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just take 2 seconds here. I just want to tell you what happened last year when we were doing this. It all came together. The Lord put this together. And so I got to tell you 3 things that happened that are really cool. So I walk into a place down at, and I'll take quickly, down at Black Rock Creek. I was delivering a golf club that I had repaired for a person. And can everybody hear me okay? Oh, no? I'm sorry.
It's on.
Okay. Oh, he's got you.
Yeah. Just real quick. I was delivering a golf club. There was 4 couples in there playing golf on a couple's night. Okay. One guy looked at me, what are you doing, Randy? I told him about the deal that we were doing. He said, you know what? I'm going to give you everything on my wall. He didn't know what he had. He had no idea. All the 4 couples got together and gave me $400 in cash for this through the Lord. Okay. Number one. Number two, we had this fundraiser last year, a golf tournament. Didn't have a lot of people show up. We needed to raise a certain amount for all the building materials that we're going to do here. And so we get done. A farmer comes up to me and walks up and gives me another $500 in cash. And we raise the exact amount that we needed for all of the materials. Every material, exactly the amount. Then I call a guy, I didn't know him, SGD Golf, out of the Midwest, and I said, hey, we're looking at doing this thing in Thailand, da da da. And he said, you know what's funny? He said, our church, honest to God, our church was looking at doing something in Thailand, but we really can't, it's just not working this year. Gives me $2,000 in equipment to do what we are doing. That just doesn't happen. It happens through him, but it doesn't happen, you know, us. Yeah. So anyway, I just had to tell you those 3 things that took place.
Very good.
It was really cool.
That helps you in our prayer, doesn't it? Yeah. Amen. Let's gather around these guys, y'all. Step up here a little bit further, and we're just going to lay hands on you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom we serve with all of our heart and our soul, our mind and our strength, we give it all to you today, Lord, and we commission this couple to go and do ministry. I know it has to do with golf and other things, Father, but as I said earlier, I believe it's bigger than that. I think it's so much bigger than that they don't realize the impact that they're going to have. And we want to impart unto them support and a gift of love and compassion and a desire to see something happen for the kingdom of God. And so we release your power into their lives, Father, and that they will arrive there, get excited about what they're doing, but they'll run right into something they weren't prepared for, weren't ready for, didn't have the gifting for, but you're going to use them to do a mighty thing for you. You have commissioned them this morning, and we just pray the prayer of faith, Father, for them. Send them in the name of Jesus Christ. Do great works for the kingdom. And may Jesus Christ reign in Thailand, Father. And let it just be the spark, the initiative, the blessing that flows through Randy and Sharon, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Safe trip, safe journey there, safe journey back. And come back with a great, exciting report. Coming back, shouting and praising God for the wonderful things that he's done through them. And we honor that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We love you guys. We love you guys. Praise the Lord. Bless you, man. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I think what we'll do, let's all stand, shall we? And I'm just going to come down here. I used to come down here a lot. Is it age? I used to do combat roles. Yeah. Does anybody remember the combat role day? Sometimes I'd run across the chairs or bounce on the chairs. And you don't heal like you used to. But I'm seriously feeling the Holy Spirit moving. It's the kind of move that I and you have been praying for a long, long time. Not that God has not been doing things. He has. I mean, let's just fess up. But I think God is about to explode with his power and his ministry. And maybe I'm assuming too much, but I think you want to be a part of that. Yes. And I'm convinced the Holy Spirit wants to be a part of that. And so I want to impart to you the heart that I have for this. It's similar to when we try to impart a vision, the vision that we have for ministry or whatever. I think it's the same thing, similar. I want to impart to you the heart that I want to have driving our church. A heart of love for Jesus Christ, beloved of the Lord. And if that's the case, then we want Jesus Christ to have his way moving in our midst. I just want to make a couple things clear. One, miracles is not my focus, but miracles are going to happen. Finances and growth is not my focus, but that's going to happen. What I want to see happen and what is my focus is for the Holy Spirit to grip our hearts and drive us to the finish line. It's not that far away. And I want to be busting the tape, the smile on my face, excited, the whole business. Along the way, I know he's going to meet needs, blessings are going to flow. Things that you thought would never happen in your life are going to happen. Prayers that you've prayed for a long time that you thought would never come to fruition. I keep praying for it, but God hasn't done anything. I don't think he's going to. But I'm going to keep praying. Be faithful. I don't want that kind of faith. I want explosive faith that says, yeah, God's going to do this, and he's going to do it soon. So I want to pray that prayer and impart that kind of vision to you this morning so that you're not afraid to cast your shadow on the sick and not afraid to share Jesus Christ with somebody who really needs to be delivered. Amen? Knowing that all the power of heaven's right behind you. Be able to apply it to their lives. Have that confidence. Let's pray. Father, I'm praying for this, probably the finest group of people in the world, my opinion, and I know you love them just as much, Father. And I'm just praying that you would impart unto them the spiritual gift that's necessary to ignite a passion or renew a passion or renew a gifting or whatever it takes, Father. But impart that to them today. An anointing is probably a better term that will bring alive again the gifts they possess and instill them with talents and abilities that they've not possessed, and that they will turn those talents and abilities into a ministry for you. Father, I just impart unto them an anointing, a blessing. I speak it into their lives, and I speak blessing along with that anointing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.